This is Lighthouse 112, the podcast from the Superintendent of Schools, the North Shore School District 112. We're a pre-K through 8 public school district in Northeast Illinois. This podcast is a source of information about the school district, its leadership, its teachers, its students, and its community. It's another source of updates and an additional source of news regarding the changing narrative of public education. Inspire, innovate, engage. Good afternoon, welcome, and thank you for joining Lighthouse 112, the podcast of School District 112. Today we are interviewing Mr. John Bogie, a teacher at Wayne Thomas School in District 112, an overall great guy, and someone with a really neat story. And in this episode, we're going to learn more about John, his leadership story, his career, his path, his aspirations, proud moments, thoughts he's got regarding the COVID-19 remote learning transition, and really, quite frankly, anything that is on his mind. Mr. Bogie, thanks again for joining today. Thanks for your great work on behalf of our students and our district every day. It's fantastic to have you as a guest on Lighthouse 112, and I know that I can't wait to hear you share the voice of a teacher, especially during this strange COVID time, and also during Teacher and Educational Staff Appreciation Week. So, welcome, sir. Happy to have you. The floor is yours.
Thanks. It's really great to be here. It has been a bit of a strange journey for me to get here. But I got to say, I really could not be happier being in 112. And, you know, as I tell my story, I'm going to apologize in advance. I'm going to drop a lot of names. But I really want to credit all the people who made me the teacher I am, because I'm really fortunate to have worked with just some amazing people. You know, I grew up in Evanston, where, you know, my mom and dad, John and Kathy, they always exposed me to education. My mom was a school social worker. I was a swimmer. I played tuba in the band. But I always wanted to work in government. And when I went off to Albion College, where I got a partial scholarship, I could swim Division III there and major in political science, which I've just always loved political science. And from there, law school seemed a natural fit. So I enrolled and was accepted at Chicago Kent College of Law. But the summer before that, my mom got me a part-time job working as an aide at her school, working one-on-one with a student. And there was a Middleton School in Skokie School District 73.5. And I loved it. I loved being with the kids. I loved being in the classroom. It was just inspirational every day. But I had committed to law school. So I went off to law school.
Sure.
I lasted 6 months. And I'll be honest, I was miserable. I didn't just have a lot of interest in what I was doing. So I left, and the irony is I wound up marrying a lawyer, and her sisters, moms, and dads are all lawyers and judges, so I guess there's a little irony there. But I worked on a tour boat that summer after I left law school, found myself, and committed to going back to becoming a teacher, and I got a job at that same school, Middleton, as an LDBD aide, we used to say back in the 90s. And I went on to have another amazing experience, thanks mostly to a teacher named Penny Gill. She was the teacher for whom I worked. Penny, she taught me what being a teacher was all about, the day in, day out of a classroom. She put me with students, mainstreaming them into classrooms. She was enormously supportive, would let me teach lessons to improve my skill, and you know, was really a big influence for me in those early days. At the same time, I also started working at Circle M Day Camp, where the owners, Bob and Marcy Brower, who were two former educators, taught me about group dynamics and how that would work. And later on, I learned that would be something I could apply to my own classroom in reflecting on how a class evolves throughout the year.
Now, let me get this straight. So you Yeah. were focused on political science, you were interested in the law, you've got education in your blood, and it was nice, and it was good, and you dabbled in it, but you really focused on law school. You went there, you hated it, and you said, this is not my calling, right? This is not for me.
Exactly. And I remember the day, I'll always remember it. I had gotten my midterm grades, and I'm used to getting A's and B's, and let's just say I didn't get A's and B's.
Okay.
And I was talking to my dad on the phone, and he's like, you know what? You don't like it. Quit. You'll find something else. And it was that support from my dad right there, that moment, that really made a big difference and gave me the courage to find out who I was. This is something I would carry on later in life, where I'm not afraid to try something and say, you know what? I did it. I'm going to learn from this. I'm going to carry it with me. And whatever I do next, I'm going to use that to make it even better.
Wow, John, I really appreciate that. And A, I love the humanity in your story. I love the humility in your story. I love the resilience. And I can't wait to learn more. So keep going. Let me get out of your way and listen to the rest of more of your story.
Well, yeah, I got my master's at National Lewis. And I wound up teaching fifth grade in North Chicago, which was an amazing experience. Those kids, that first class is always special, no matter where you are. There's one boy, I'll never forget him. We'll call him Juan. Juan had kind of a rough life. I was the assistant coach on the basketball team. I was always saying, let's start Juan. He was too short. He wasn't good enough, but he improved so much throughout the season. We gave him the most improved trophy award. At the end of the year, Juan left my class. He didn't even say goodbye. Broke my heart. 2 weeks later, I got a letter from him, and he said it was just too hard for him to say goodbye. He really appreciated everything I had done for him, making school a safe place, a wonderful place. And that letter today is one of my most cherished possessions. And it really reminds me of why we're here. I had this principal who, her name was Weatherspoon. We called her Spoonie. Well, some people called her Spoonie, but she was great. And she made me try harder at something than I've ever tried before. I worked my tail off that year, constantly trying to improve my craft. And at the end of the year, she told me I was one of her best teachers.
Wow.
And that meant so much to earn her respect. And she really let people know that. But after North Chicago, I was there for 1 year. And then I went to Glenview, School District 31, and I worked at a school called Winkleman, where I was there for 10 years, teaching fourth grade. And that's where things really started to take off for me. I had this wonderful principal, Maria Collant, who just was so supportive. And she would never say, no, you can't do that. It was, how can I help you meet your goals? And she let me run these fifth grade musicals at the end of the year. I would write and direct them with other teachers. And it was just, it began this philosophy of mine of having a wonderful end of the year project for the kids or the grade. We would do movie projects in my classroom where we'd recreate a piece of American history, or kids would write their own stories. And I just was in heaven there. But, you know, people said, you know, you might be a good administrator. You might be a good principal.
Sure, sure.
And I got my Type 75, got my license, and left after 10 years. And then that was really hard.
Sure.
And when I left, there was something in my mind that said, are you sure about this? Even my wife said, are you sure you want to do this? And I said, no, I want to try it. I think I can make a difference. Well, I ended up at a school called Apollo School in East Main School District 63. I was the assistant principal for a year, and then I became the co-interim principal.
Wow, okay.
And that was an interesting situation. The principal left over the summer to become HR director, and they brought in someone else to work with me and run the building for a year. It was during that time I saw there was an opening in Libertyville District 70, and I immediately went for it. It had an excellent reputation, and I was hired to be the principal of Adler Park School.
It's really incredible, John. These incredible opportunities. Obviously, I know that you're an incredible educator too, just personally. I know that firsthand. Obviously, and I think anyone listening can hear it and feel the passion and joy. I love this sort of fascinating journey of aid work, of camp work, of fifth grade, of fourth grade, of having incredible principals who inspire you, and then becoming an assistant principal and like catapulting up to a co-intern principal, and then you became a principal. So while I'm not surprised, I love this, and it's really cool because you just mentioned something. You said, yeah, when you did it, you thought, is this really what I want? I'm leaving the classroom. And obviously I know today, sort of spoiler alert, John's an amazing elementary school teacher in our district. So I'm really excited to hear now what went on, what happened, how was it, and then what brought you back, which is really my benefit and the benefit of Wayne Thomas and District 112, what brought you back to the classroom. So again, I'll get out of your way. I love it. Let's keep going. Thank you.
Well, I'm sitting there as a principal, and I would look at the classrooms and think, I want to get back in. And, you know, I kind of find ways, maybe I'll teach this little lesson, or do you need another mystery reader, that sort of a thing. And I saw in a science supply book, an aquatract. It's about 25 feet long, thick rubber. You could build boats and race them. I'm like, oh my gosh, this thing is incredible. And I kept thinking, maybe I could get, this teacher to do it. And then I said, you know what? I want to do it. I want to be the one who builds it, designs the boats with the kids, races them. And I really started to reflect, and I really, I missed the classroom terribly. And I made a decision to go back to the classroom. I discussed it with our superintendent, Guy Schumacher, who, no surprise, was very supportive of me pursuing what I wanted to do, of anybody really.
Let's give a great shout out. Guy is amazing. Right now in the present tense, he's an interim administrator in District 112, and he's a mentor, coach, and guide to me and many, and just a gift to the profession. So I think we can all give him a shout out.
Absolutely. Yeah, he was great. And he was so supportive. I had a friend, Holly Harper Kelly. She's now a principal herself, introduced me to a principal of Ravinia, Ellen Maurer, who introduced me to Claire Kowalczyk. And Claire and I began a series of conversations, but Guy Schumacher also stepped up and had very long conversations with her about that, about me transitioning to a classroom teaching job. And, in talking to Claire, we just hit it off. We had the same vision. We loved the same children's books. I knew right away this was the place for me. It was just a match made in heaven. And so Claire, at the time was principal of Lincoln School.
Okay, very good.
And so I came into Lincoln. I got to be in fourth grade again. and I couldn't believe the luck of that. And when I got fourth grade, I thought, I know this guy, John Scornavacco. He used to be principal of Deerfield.
Sure.
And he once told me, you shouldn't do the same job for more than 10 years, give or take. And I thought, here I am going back. Am I pushing it again? But I'd had this huge 5-year experience as an administrator. And I thought, I think this is the right decision because I think it's going to make me a better teacher. And I really believe it has. And those days at Lincoln were amazing. I had this amazing teammate, Stephanie Dolby. She's now at Indian Trail. She was so supportive. She was also a counselor at Circle M Day Camp. And as I started to work here, I had so many connections to so many people in 112. It was just amazing. In fact, I had a former board member's boys in my group at Circle M. Mr. Kaufman, he's a Loyola Law School professor.
He's great. Yeah, first time I worked in 112, Mr. Kaufman was on the board. He's a wonderful, wonderful man. Yeah, John, I love it. And I love that you said when you were starting the interview, yeah, you're going to name drop. And you know what's neat? You're doing it in the context of great people have surrounded you in your career. They've paid it forward for you. You've paid it forward for others. And it's really not name dropping for any impressing other than to say they've impressed upon you what your calling is. They've impressed upon you what your opportunities were. And they really helped you find your passion and find your calling. I think it's awesome. And I love it because it's nice to go down memory lane. And I love some of just the personal connections that I've discovered about you and me in this interview. I'm a graduate of Gemini Junior High School in East 1963, 1982, just to kind of date myself. And I taught preclinical observations before I became a teacher in the early 90s at Winkleman School in third grade. So really? Add that to our connections.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That's incredible. Oh my gosh. Wow. Wow. Well, it was funny at when I got to Lincoln, Claire was great. The parents were amazing. And I applied for a grant at the end of my first year and I got my AquaTrack. And now every year we do the regatta. We build our boats, we race them. It's kind of my thing. But my teammate, Stephanie Dolby, was great. She did it too. But not only her, the fifth grade teachers, Larry Patrick, Hallie Barr, it became kind of our thing that we all did. And now at Wayne Thomas, I've got this wonderful, I'm jumping the gun there a little bit because I want to give credit to Gene Bannis and John Sprangers, who ran Lincoln for 2 years as we close. And they were just as supportive, two of the kindest people. I just absolutely adored working with them. But yeah, we were sad when Lincoln closed. But you know, I said this when Lincoln closed and there were a lot of transfers in the district. Let's not think of this as the worst thing ever, or a sad moment. Let's think of it as an opportunity to do something new and different. Take our skills, spread them and share them. And, you know, I don't know what it is about 112, but once again, I had another amazing principal, Michael Rodrigo. And I met with him over the summer before I started, and he was new, I was new. We had very similar ideas. He loved the AquaTrack. Once again, here's a guy who's like, he doesn't say no. It's like, how can we make this happen?
Sure.
I loved it. Loved it right away. And, you know, while we're there, he and I, I learned so much from him about data and analyzing students, figuring out where they're at. And he and I've been paired up with another wonderful teammate, Annie Hoffman, who I feel like we really work well together. We make each other better teachers. And, you know, we've really become so focused on data and what can we do to help the students based on the data. I love our success block. You know, we're meeting weekly. Sometimes it feels like daily. What does this kid need? Let's do a group for that. Are there other kids? Let's bring them together. And I got to say, I know we're doing good things. All the data does show we are getting better. And, you know, we're proud of that, but, you know, we're not done yet.
I love it, John. I mean, really, I'm proud to be in your circle, and I'm proud to be working with you right now at this point in your career. I think that really, it's just such a beautiful story to have followed your passion, your calling, and your mission and your drive. And I think it's neat for you to shout out to Gene and to Claire and to everybody, and John and Michael and just everybody, and Guy. These are really impactful educators, just like yourself, and the folks, Spoonie and the others from earlier in your career, are also really impactful. And I just think it's neat that you bring an open mind and a fresh perspective each and every year, each and every time. I mean, really going from the in-person schooling that we know and love, and I cannot wait till we get back to sooner rather than later. you bring that fresh can-do spirit, even to the quarantine and this remote teaching. I mean, on a dime, we switched over a period of about 2 weeks, and over the last 5-6 weeks, keep reiterating what this e-learning is or remote learning is. Do you have any thoughts as to sort of, you know, what are we going to do to help end this year to make it special for our kids? And do you have any thoughts about how we're going to transition and make sure we make meaning of next year moving forward?
Yeah, I think this is presented as the good part of all this is we have this wonderful opportunity to really advance ourselves with our use of technology, learning how to use Zoom, Otis. I have about 3 or 4 emails to go back and check from Jason Williams and our instructional coach, Becky Purse, about other things to do. It's brought the teams closer together. I feel like the fourth grade team here has really been emailing a lot, sharing stuff, sharing ideas. All those things are great. And as we go towards the end of the year, about our movie projects, what we've done in the past. So I'm coming up with ideas. I'm going to have to ask the parents to help film the kids. They'll send me clips. We'll do an end of the year movie premiere through our computer and share that common experience. One thing I'm hoping for is, since we aren't going to be able to do the regatta this year, is next year being able to do those activities with the kids as fifth graders at the beginning of the year. Because I feel like it's a kind of rite of passage.
Sure, I agree. I agree.
And I want to do everything I can to make these things happen. So trying to tell the kids, we're going to make this a special end of the year. I would love to be able to do a parade by my students' houses. We already decorated my car for the Month of the Military Child parade at the base. That was fantastic, and I'd love to carry it a little further. So those are the kinds of things I'm toying around with. I have a Cracker Jack student teacher this year, Deb Jesuit, who has her ideas too. She's hanging around to help out. She's like, well, I'm going to be home. I have nothing else to do. I'm like, hey, I love it.
She's learning from you. She's inspired by you. I absolutely love learning what she's doing and thinking through Twitter and social media. I've actually grown quite fond of her from social media, from a distance. I'm really proud of the work she's doing. And I know that your impact on her is not only carrying with her right now, obviously, I know it's going to carry with her for her career. So thank you for really giving her one of the most bizarre student teaching experiences.
<Yeah. laughs>
Talk about being nimble and being agile, right?
So. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yeah. And I got to say, the parents, the families, the kids have been amazing during this time. The support was just wonderful. I would call families up to try and talk kids through getting on a Zoom or something, or just to check in with them. And just, you could hear the appreciation in their tone of voice. It's a big credit. I love the community. I love the people here. Just fantastic. And I know we're thinking about the fall, you know, everything we've created, we're going to carry with us. So all these Otis forms, Google forms, whatever, these are going to be tools we'll be able to use in the future, I see. I definitely will. And so, you know, as we're looking towards starting in the future, I'm hoping we'll be together at the beginning of the year.
Me too.
I think everybody is. But, I think in a weird way, it's going to bring us closer together by appreciating the fact that we are together.
Well, John, I not only can't say amen, and I agree with you, and I love these insights, and I'm looking forward to taking all of the new learning that's been really good and meaningful, not only for our students, but also for our teachers. Mm-hmm. All of this meaningful learning, apply it next year and beyond. Let's learn, let's grow. We're an organization committed to excellence, and I say the silver lining is we're pushing ourselves in a way we didn't know we needed to be pushed, number one, and maybe by doing it with a more blended approach and with some thinking and bring our teams together, like you said, I just applaud you and your colleagues, and I say, let's keep going. And from my perspective, I want to do everything in my power to support the training, support the opportunities of risk-taking, support the opportunities to enhance technological usage for student growth and learning, and simply keep going. Because North Shore School District 112 really, I think, is a great place. It's a wonderful organization. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of your colleagues. And I really can't say thank you enough for joining the podcast. I can't wait to share this with the world next time during Teacher and Educational Staff Appreciation Week. Just happens to randomly work that way. And I want to thank you for keeping up the great work you're doing. You're a role model for a lot of people, John, and I think your story is going to inspire others, and I just thank you for bringing forward the teacher voice, and thank you for continuing to be excellent, and as you know, reach out to me or anybody in the administration to support the great work that you're doing.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And thank you. You've been a tremendous leader really given us vision. The four goals, the four areas have been enormously important. And it's a blessing to work here. It really is. Thank you.
Thank you so much, my friend. Thank you for listening to Lighthouse 112, the podcast from the Superintendent of Schools in the North Shore School District 112. We're a PK-8 public school district in Northeast Illinois. This podcast is a source of information about the school district, its leadership, its teachers and students, and its community.
It's another source of updates and an additional source of news regarding the changing narrative of public education. Inspire, innovate, engage. This podcast can be listened to and heard on Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Breaker, Overcast, Pocket Casts, Radio Public, Stitcher, and other sources are being added all the time. Please check back and subscribe to us to stay current with what's going on in North Shore School District 112. Please also visit our website at www.nssd112.org. Thank you so much for listening and for your interest.